Welcome, everyone. And Liz, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me okay? Anne, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great, great. Now, I just wanted to make sure everything was working. Well, welcome, everyone. I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to speak with you guys again. As Anne said, we are going to be talking about Gemo versus Sibelius. There always seems to be a lot of discussion around that. A lot of times you'll just hear it called Gemo. And so what we are going to do, I'm going to review a brief history because I find that interesting, and the outcome of the case and the impact that it has on us in SNF. So a little background on the case. Glenda Gemo was a patient. She was 78 years old. She was the lead plaintiff in a class action lawsuit along with a group called the Center for Medicare Advocacy in the suit called Gemo versus Sibelius. And Sibelius, by the way, is our former Secretary of Health and Human Services. So they joined together in this lawsuit. Glenda Gemo had a chronic disability. She was legally blind and also had a partially amputated leg. And she claimed that Medicare wrongfully denied some home health services that she received in 2007. So it was actually several years old, and it took a while for the case to go through, as you can imagine. So her claim in this denial was that it was denied improperly due to what Medicare calls an improvement, which they called an improvement standard. In other words, her claims were denied because she didn't improve, whether that was functional improvement or some other type of improvement. Glenda Gemo said, you know, you all should have paid my claims. Just because I didn't improve doesn't mean you shouldn't pay for it. So for those of us who have had to deal with Medicare claims, and I did denials for about 10 years, certainly past history showed that, from a therapy perspective anyway, I certainly saw claims denied based to the fact that there was no functional improvement. So along with that claim, again, just because she's saying just because she didn't improve didn't mean that she didn't require skilled care. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the outcome. So, again, she didn't improve, but she said, I still needed that skilled care. The claim was settled in January of 2013. So CMS settled the claim. They said that there was never a rule of thumb improper improvement standard and that this was always part of their regulation, that it's always based on skilled care. However, part of the settlement was that they would have to go and educate the MACs, the FIs or the MACs, on what this standard meant and also do education to the public. So for those of you who were in skilled nursing facility world in 2013, a lot of information started coming out when this lawsuit got settled. CMS had 1 year to complete the revisions and education. And they did have, what I remember from several years ago, a webinar for the providers, and they did have some information, I think, that was sent out to the public. And we're going to talk about that as well because there's been an update to that. In addition, they did revise the Medicare Benefit Policy Manual. So that's where the big changes are. That's where the regulations are then put into a manual. Chapter 8 in the Benefit Policy Manual, they updated some terms for the SNF world, and Chapter 15, which is more therapy-related. And most of the time when we talk about Gemo, it's usually in regards to therapy, but I'll tell you that that their updated definitions also include skilled nursing. So, it's dependent upon whether a patient requires skilled nursing or therapy care. Therapy services, they clarified in their updates, are either restorative or maintenance, and we're going to talk about what those definitions mean. When I first read this, I'm actually a nurse by background. I thought they were talking about restorative nursing, and that is not the term. It is not restorative nursing that they're referring to. When they say restorative, they really mean rehabilitative. And I'm just going to read a real quick definition. If a claim or if a patient needs rehabilitative or restorative care, the goal is to reverse in whole or in part a previous loss of function. So that's most of the patients that we think about majority of the time when we think about rehab or restorative care. In a situation like that, we do have a tendency, or we should be looking for some type of improvement, right? Patient comes in, they've had a loss of function or a decline in function due to something that's happened, to come in for therapy. Our goals are for that patient to progress. We anticipate seeing a progression of function from a therapy standpoint. The other definition is maintenance care. And I know we've had maintenance therapy certainly for a very long time in SNFs. But again, from a definition standpoint, they may not necessarily need an improvement or to see an improvement in function. From a maintenance perspective, we're looking at their current condition and we're trying to prevent or slow further deterioration, or it may be an opportunity for education, and I'm going to share an example of that here in just a minute. In their update, they also said that skilled nursing and therapy does not turn on the presence or absence of a beneficiary's potential for improvement, but rather on the beneficiary's need for skilled care. Again, so they did take the opportunity to clarify that. So I'm going to share some examples of what this might look like specifically from therapy. From a restorative or rehabilitative standpoint, again, those are the types of patients that we typically think of in our SNFs that come in. A lot of them come in short term. They've had a change or decline in function, a hip replacement, hip fracture, knee replacement. They've had a stroke or even some type of intense medical condition that they've become so deconditioned, they were in the hospital for 2 weeks, that they need to get back to their prior level. So again, rehabilitative patient, typically we're going to see that. We're going to see an improvement in their function. I'm going to give a couple of examples of maintenance. One is a patient, for example, with Parkinson's, and Parkinson's can be pretty challenging, as we know, and I know we see quite a bit of that in long-term care. So we've got a patient with Parkinson's that may be admitted or may be a long-term care resident, and their condition is such that exceeds what restorative nursing can do. So they've got a lot of tone and rigidity and some ataxia, which we typically see with Parkinson's patients. And we need to spend time, referral comes to therapy, and we spend some time training the caregiver on maybe some tactical approaches to facilitate that patient's movements. And it may take several visits for us to really see what's going on with that patient, assess that patient, and spend some time training caregiver. That caregiver may be a family, maybe they're going home, or it may be a CNA or the nursing staff. But that patient has so many medical complexities and it's so complex that the techniques that we have to teach are skilled and we are helping transition that patient over. And those are typically the types of maintenance patients that we all see. Another good example, though, that I'm going to share, and I had a personal experience with this one, is that we had a similar type patient. I don't think the patient had Parkinson's, but had some type of neurologic disorder. And patient was long-term care. Therapy would pick them up. Patient would do very well and would be independent with a cane or a walker. And then we would put them on restorative, and the patient would decline again. The patient had a really complex gait. And so this happened over and over. And I got a phone call from the physical therapist saying, you know, is this a situation where, you know, they explained the situation where the GMO rule could be effective? And I said, absolutely. So we talked through that. This patient was picked up for therapy. Now, typically in a patient like this, we're not going to see them for a really intense treatment. We saw this patient twice a week for 15 minutes. The therapist had to physically get on the ground with this patient to help stand that patient and get that gait going. Because again, the gait was so complex, and it took the skills of a therapist to really assess and work with that patient. But you'll notice that in a situation like this, we didn't pick them up for a really intense treatment. It was for 15 to 30 minutes, usually 15, twice a week. But because it took the skills of a therapist and because we were able to document what happened once we stopped treatment, the therapy continued and it was supported. Now, we didn't pick that patient up forever. We saw that patient twice a week for several months. But again, it really helped that patient. That patient was able then to maintain that gait once we discharged because we continued to work with him. So I wanted to share some examples because I think twofold. I think that we have an opportunity to use this GMO in order to look at some of our folks and maybe pick up some people that maybe we didn't think about before. You know, the onus is on us from a therapy perspective, though, to make sure that our documentation supports it. And that's really critical. And we on our end try to do a good job of educating some of our therapists on what that looks like. The goals for a patient that I just described, where we pick that patient up twice a week, 15 minutes, are going to be very different than that rehabilitative patient. Our documentation may be different. But we certainly need to make sure that we document what would happen if that patient were discharged instead of continued twice a week. We need to make sure our skills are documented. And so when I say skills as well, you know, again, I think I said I'm a nurse. You know, walking a patient 15 feet with a cane, a nurse can do. But a therapist is going to look at that gait and that ambulation much differently. If you have a patient who's having difficulty, you know, when that patient walks, they're looking at balance and they're looking at cadence and they're looking at stride length and hip flexion and all of those great things that make it skilled. So we in the therapy world need to make sure that we document where the gait analysis in a situation like that is and why our skills are needed. So I wanted to talk about that as well. And I know it can get a little bit difficult and a little bit confusing, but there are some good examples in the benefit policy manual. If you have an opportunity, Chapter 8 has some good examples of that as well that you may want to review. I know we're probably running a little bit short on time. I did want to give you all, though, a quick update because there was an update in February of this year on this case. There was a judge in Vermont. It went back to court that said that CMS had not done enough to educate the public and also the MACs on this updated standard. So we will be hearing about this again. You'll probably be reading it in the news this fall. They have to now, CMS now has to publish a corrective statement on a new webpage that is strictly dedicated to this GMO lawsuit. And it's supposed to have some frequently asked questions and some GMO-related documents. It also needs to include some additional training to the Medicare contractors, and it has to be implemented by September 4th. So really, that's right around the corner. I haven't read anything since that lawsuit in February, so I'm thinking that within the next month or so, we're going to be hearing about some Medicare Learning Network articles or presentations that they will be presenting to us on the updates. So I hope that I know we've got a few minutes for questions. I hope that that helps to clarify a little bit of what GMO has done for us, and I hope that you will take that into consideration when you look at some of your folks in the facilities.
Well, thank you very much, Liz. I'm going to go ahead and begin to unmute the lines. If anybody has any questions, now would be the time to go ahead and just go ahead with them. Well, at this time, if there are no questions, then I just want to thank everyone for joining us and certainly do want to thank you, Liz, for your time and effort today. It was well-received
and
good information. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.